Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein, and today we're going to be studying the final chapter of Chavakuk, Chapter 3. In Chapter 2, Hashem demanded that Chavakuk accept that divine justice might be slow, but it will come. Now, in Chapter 3, we'll see how Chavakuk responds. This chapter might seem somewhat familiar, as it's actually read as the Haftarah for the second day of Shavuot. The Haftarah actually begins with the very last verse of chapter 2. So I'll follow the lead of the Misadreya Haftarah and begin there as well, considering that last verse as part of the unit necessary for understanding the content of chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 20, V'Hashem Be'echal Kacho Hasmi Panav Kol Haaretz. Hashem is in his heavenly abode. Be silent before God, all the earth. These words convey terror, a sense of awe. Chavakuk's first response to Hashem's promise that justice might be slow to actualize is simply to acknowledge how incredible it is that God actually acts in the world. Hashem is present in the world. And that alone demands our utter awe. As Chavakuk then articulates in chapter 3, verse 2, Hashem shamati shmacha yareti, Hashem pa'alcha. O Hashem, I've learned of your renown. I am awed, Hashem, by your deeds. But Chavakuk is still stubborn, audacious, and insistent. And in the continuation of this verse, he begs Hashem, Bekarev shanim chayehu, bekarev shanim todia, beroges rachim tiskor. Renew them in these years. Make it known in these years. Though angry, may you remember compassion. He acknowledges that justice might not follow the timeline that he would like, but he asks Hashem to return his people and bring salvation quickly and speedily. He's pleading for mercy. Chavakuk's prayer then moves into a description of a vivid theophany, an awe-inspiring vision of Hashem advancing from the south. This image is overwhelming as nature itself reacts to Hashem's presence in the world. Eloka mitaman yavo, v'kadosh mehar paran, sela, kisa shamayim hodo utilato mala haaretz. Hashem is coming from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Sela. His majesty covers the skies, splendor fills the earth. This is the same imagery we see at Sinai, where Hashem's presence was felt as a supernatural force, shaking the very foundations of the world. And the Har Sinai imagery continues in verse 4. V'noga ka'orti yakarnayim. His presence shines forth, like a brilliant light that has rays on every side. And verse 11 tells us, Shemesh, Ereach, Amad, the sun and the moon stand still. You can see why this chapter is chosen as the Haftarah for Shavuot. But there's a crucial difference here. This is not just a moment of revelation, like at Sinai. This time, Hashem is on a warpath. The presence in the world is the very force of justice that will come to punish Babylonia. Chavakuk reports that Hashem is marching forth in this holy war filled with vengeance, moving towards those who have wronged his people. Verse 5 emphasizes, Lefanav yelech dever v'yetzei reshef l'raglav. Pestilence marches in front and plague comes forth at his heels. The image of Hashem as warrior is the central theme of this chapter, and it dominates the narrative as the battle for justice unfolds. Verses 11 through 15 take us deeper into this cosmic battle. Chavakuk describes Hashem's victory over the forces of chaos, using vivid imagery of divine weapons as Hashem triumphs over evil. Verse 8 describes, Hanivarim chara Hashem im baneharim apecha, im bayam evratecha, kiterkav al susecha, markavotecha yeshua. Are you angry, Hashem, with neharim? Is your anger against neharim? Is your rage against yam that you are driving your steeds, your victorious chariot? In these rhetorical questions, Chavakuk is not simply asking who Hashem is fighting against. There's a polemic here. The river, Naharim, and the sea, Yam, are the gods of chaos in the ancient Near East, associated to the Canaanite myths of creation, where the gods battled each other to bring order into the world. And Habakkuk, through these rhetorical questions, emphasizes that he rejects all that. Hashem is the one who tames and conquers chaos. And there is a purpose for this fight, as verse 13 tells us, Yetzata liyesha amecha liyesha et mishichecha. You have come forth to deliver your people, to deliver your anointed. Hashem's interventions are to save Israel and to ensure their everlasting continuity. In response to this overwhelming vision, Habakkuk steps back and shares his personal reaction. Shemati v'tirgaz b'tni l'kol tzalalu svatai, yavo rakav ba'atzamai, v'tachtai ergaz asher anuach liyom tzara, la'alot la'am yugudenu. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. There's terror, but Habakkuk also emphasizes his trust in Hashem, despite this immense fear, as verse 18 tells us, Va'ani b'Hashem e'aloza, agila b'elokei yishi. I'll rejoice in Hashem, exult in Hashem who delivers me. What's remarkable is how Habakkuk responds to his own terror. He doesn't shy away from it. Despite the calamity that he knows is to come, he still expresses an unshakable confidence in Hashem's power to deliver his people. And this confidence is not based on just the immediate circumstances to come, but on the assurance that Hashem's justice will ultimately prevail in the big picture. And that does give him strength to endure what he knows will be an excruciating immediate future. And this is how the book of Habakkuk ends, in this final verse. Hashem Elokim cheli v'yasam raglai ka'ayalot v'al bamotai yadricheni lamnatzeach ben ginotai. Hashem is my strength, making my feet like the deer's, letting me stride upon the heights for the leader with instrumental music. Habakkuk's final declaration of trust in Hashem is both powerful and moving. After envisioning the divine intervention that will bring justice, he rejoices in Hashem's power to deliver his people, despite the immediate suffering that he knows is coming. But as the book closes, it's important to remember Cook's personality has not changed. He's always stubborn, always audacious, willing to challenge Hashem when he sees injustice, and it seems... But it's important to remember that Habakkuk did not start or end this journey in a place of quiet faith. Throughout this short book, we've seen his personality is constant. He's audacious. He's willing to challenge Hashem's justice or what he perceives as injustice, questioning why it is that the righteous suffer while the wicked thrive, begging Hashem to show his mercy, despite the fact that Hashem warned him it might take years for the bigger picture to come to fruition. It's this audacity that makes Habakkuk's faith so profound. His prophetic journey is one of wrestling with God, of not shying away from the struggle. His faith is not born of passive acceptance, but of an active engagement with divine justice, where it seems some doubt and anger coexist with trust. In this way, Habakkuk's story serves as a powerful reminder that emunah in Hashem is not about avoiding the hard questions, but of facing them head on with the confidence that Hashem's justice will prevail, even if we cannot fully understand it, and even if within our own lifetimes we may not see it. On this note, we conclude our studies on the book of Habakkuk. As always, I welcome your feedback and questions. Feel free to email me at adinablaustein@gmail.com. And I'll also be happy to share with you an essay that's excerpted from my forthcoming book on the Haftarot. In the essay, I examine Habakkuk as the Haftarah for the second day of Shavuot. Just put essay in the subject line of your email, and I'll be sure to send that your way. It's been an honor to study together. Le'ilui Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.